You know, we have fallen in love with this notion of the self-made man, of the rags-to-riches story, of the idea that if you make it to the top of your profession, you deserve a salary of $20 million a year because you're the one responsible for getting to the top. You know, why shouldn't you be richly rewarded? And that idea and that ethos has permeated virtually every way in which we think about achievement. And I think that that idea is completely false. It's worse than false. It's dangerous. And it completely obscures the real reasons why people succeed. And it obscures the extraordinarily important role that we, by which I mean society, can play in promoting success. We make decisions every day over who gets to succeed and who doesn't without realizing we do it. And I want to sort of bring those kinds of hidden mechanisms to light as a way of helping us understand what we can do to kind of promote achievement on a much broader scale than we do now.
You're Canadian. Has this distance from American culture sharpened your perspective?
I think so. And I think because as Canadians, we're far less caught up in the myth of individualism. It's a much easier argument to make in Canada that success is a product of many different factors and forces and environments and legacies working together. And I think that's why I have this. This is, of all the books I've written, this is the most personal in the sense that it really does represent my bedrock philosophy as a human being. And that was very much formed by my upbringing in Canada.
Without giving too much away, you conclude with a piece that's close to home. It's about your mother as an outlier.
Yeah, because this book was so personal, I thought it would be appropriate to end on a personal note. And so the last chapter is all about my mother is Jamaican and grew up in a house the size of the recording studio I'm in right now, whose parents, although they were school teachers, by any contemporary reckoning, were lower middle class. And she ended up living in an upper middle class professional house in family in Canada, in wealthy Canada. And the question for that last chapter is, how did she get there? It would be tempting to say she got there because she's ambitious and really smart. And in fact, that explanation, as flattering as it is to my mother, is completely false. And the last chapter is an attempt to go back in my own family and my own culture, or more specifically, my mother's own culture, and try and locate kind of antecedents of her success, first in her own mother, my grandmother, and then in what was going on in Jamaica when my mother was growing up, in what was going on in my mother's family 2, 3, 4 generations previously, in what happened when my great-great-great-grandfather, who was an Irish coffee plantation owner, took as his concubine a slave he'd purchased and produced my great-great-great-grandfather, and why that mattered and continues to matter to this day in my family. Just this idea of, instead of thinking of my mother as someone who was born in 1931 and whose life belongs entirely to the 20th and 21st century, to make people understand that her success actually belongs to the 21st century, the 20th century, the 19th century, and the 18th century. And unless you look at her life and my family's life with that kind of remove, you understand nothing about why we've achieved what we've achieved.
Tell a tale on yourself as an outlier. How about something formative from your childhood that has contributed to your own success?